I always want to make sure that you can hear me. I think you can hear me. I'd like to thank those who have come from close all the way to the States and all the way to other parts of the world. We have those people that have joined us this morning, Ronnie and his family, Sister Terry and Brother Hinesiano and his family, and Sister Beth, and even Artis Mom is here, Atisul is here, Mark's family I think is here. There's so many of you, but we are very thankful for our guest this morning. We hope that we were able to minister to you in one way or the other, and we hope to see you again. And I have many things to thank God for, and one of which is the church. You've been there for our young people. Today is Young People Sunday. You've given us the opportunity to lead the worship service. And not only today, but your support is felt and it's very important to us. And we pray that we will continue to grow together and we will continue to serve together. And you will allow our young people to serve alongside you. I also would like to thank the parents of the Impact for bringing them here. And of course, there are those who may be at home, not yet able to join us for our young people, and we are inviting you. We have fellowships regularly every week on Friday, and there are other important gatherings. And so I ask that if you know someone, maybe your neighbor or friends or relatives, please let us know, so this way we could connect with them and have them come in our young people groups. Anyhow, from the Impact Ministry, thank you very much for all of your support to us. And I appreciate our young people for sharing with us a beautiful hymn or a beautiful Christmas song this morning. It is one of the hymns that are connected to the Bible, particularly in Luke chapter 2. Actually, the first two chapters of the book of Luke are connected to many hymns out there, thousands of hymns. But the book of Luke alone, the first and the second chapter, presents to us five nativity hymns. They are not in particular order. They are Elizabeth Benedicta, that's one. They're also her husband Zechariah, which is the Benedictus, and the angels Gloria in Excelsis Deo, and one of my favorites, Simeon's Nun Dimitris. And of course, lastly, our topic today is Mary's Magnificat, which is a praise and worship song. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning you have allowed us to be together. It is by divine design that we are here today. We thank you that we are able to learn from you and to hear from you. Our prayer is that you will help us to be able to learn. We know that the Holy Spirit who is in us will be our teacher today. And may His presence and power enable also your servant to present your word, that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to whom I ask all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now in the bulletin, I have 3 points this morning. One, or the first one is, it presents praises to God. Take a look. Please open your Bibles there again, or your electronic Bible, to chapter 1, verses 46 and 47 reads, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." You know, just like the other four nativity hymns, the name of our text comes from the first word in the Latin Bible. And verse 46 goes this way. Magnificat Anima mea dominum. I hope I was able to say it properly. Which tells us that Mary magnifies her Lord. You see, the word magnifies carries the meaning of to make great, to enlarge, to exalt, to celebrate, to esteem someone highly, to praise, and ultimately to glorify. And within that expression, it carries along emotions with exceeding joy. It's beyond happiness. It's from within coming out. And in our text, Mary began to sing and expressing great joy and delight in making God's name great. She praises God that He took notice of her. She can't believe that she was chosen by God to bear and bring forth the promise of God, the long-awaited Messiah. Mary was stunned that God has taken notice of her. And to this end, it was a response when she composed or made this Magnificat. As a humble servant, she wanted to make sure that she responded to God accordingly. She knows that she was an ordinary woman. She knows that she came from insignificant village in Galilee. That often this particular group of people were looked down and scorned by fellow Israelites. And one of which in John chapter 1 is Nathanael, one of the disciples, when he says, "Is there anyone great that would come out from this community?" And he was right when he says that. Mary did not view herself as exalted in any way. In fact, she sees herself as a servant, a maid servant. In our text on verse 38, it says, "Maid servant." You know, if you're going to look at, by way of observation, in the New Testament, Mary seems to be the very first person in the New Testament who considers herself as the Lord's servant, as the Lord's slave. She carefully recognizes the blessing that God bestowed upon her as God's slave, as a channel of blessing. Now, continues on verse 47, it says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." This is a very important statement. She praises God as her Savior. This is a declaration that Mary is not sinless, is not immaculate as some people think out there that she is and still is. She was very aware that she needed a Savior. That's why she says, "My God, my Savior." Now, when she says that, she is admitting that she is just like you and me, nothing but a sinner. And to her declaration, she is saying that I needed a Savior. This refutes the wrong doctrine that the reason God chose Mary to receive the Lord or conceive the Savior of the world was because she was without spot or blemish. If anyone out there would say, then you could just easily point out to that person, Mary is not spotless. She needed a Savior just like everybody else. True, she was considered to be blessed. And hear this, it says on verse 42 and 48, she is considered to be blessed, and the word is among the women. It is going to be different if it says she is blessed above the women. It is not rendered to be above. It says among. it means equal, just like everybody else. But of course, in fairness, she deserves to be commended for her good traits. Our text tells us on verse 48, it says that Mary is a humble servant. And that is the primary requirement for every servant. Anyone who would like to serve the Lord must be humble. And in addition to that, which is very, very important, and this is a great encouragement to, especially to those who aren't married. You see, Mary knows and values the importance of purity. She kept her purity. She was a virgin. You know, if she had lost it, she would not be able to meet the requirement of the Lord. And what would the book of Isaiah would say? Please turn to Isaiah 7 verse 14. Isaiah 7 verse 14. It reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Mary was a virgin, and she fulfilled what the Lord had said in the past. Behold, the virgin will conceive. Generally speaking, purity brings many blessings. It brings physical blessings. It brings emotional blessings. It brings social blessings. I know these days it seems to be not important, but for us as believers, it should be important. And you get a good name. When people knows that you are a virgin, it's a good name. And not the world value system though. That is their belief. If you lost it, it's fine. As long as if you're happy about it, you're okay. If you're not bothering anyone, you're okay. But that's what the world has to say. That's not what the Bible has to say. It is important to keep one's purity. And mind you, young ladies, if there is one thing, one of the blessings and great gift that you could ever present to your husband, if you're going to get married, if it's the Lord's will, is your virginity. It may not be popular these days, but I tell you, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. That's why Mary have found favor from the Lord. We see that on verse 30 in the same chapter. When someone finds favor in the Lord, most of the time, if not all the time, it means that this person is godly and knows her calling. It is important to understand, not only to know, but to submit to your calling. And Mary knows that, and she is willing to submit to God's calling. And she could be a good role model, not only today, but even in her time, in yesteryears. You know, if Mary is alive today, she would either be disappointed, maybe mad, and on the other hand, she will be blessed. You know, if she's alive today, she'd be disappointed to those people who have placed her in such level, in such degree that she would have never approved of. There are those who would consider Mary to be God, which is unbiblical. The Bible never tells from all of the books of the gospel where you could find Mary, you'll never find that the Bible would declare that she is God. She would not like those who would misinterpret the song that she composed when she declares to be a simple and humble servant willing to obey God. On the other hand, if Mary is alive today, she would be very happy to see the many hymns and choral arrangements that were made out of this particular portion of scripture. And there are many great composers like Antonio Vivaldi, and also the other one is John Sebastian Bach. You know who is one of the great composers? You could still YouTube exactly the musical rendition that he made. And it's wonderful. And you know what? The last time I checked, he was not only a great composer, he was also a good theologian. And in my personal estimation, I think she would be happy because many times in our cantata here at First Filipino Baptist Church, we were able also to render the songs that are connected to our topic today. And if you were here last week, the children also, they were able to present one of the songs that is connected to our text. Brethren and friends, Mary had composed a praise song that doesn't claim equal with God, but equality with humanity. That was her statement and declaration. In addition, she had made a song that is what? God-centered song. If you're going to take a look closer, there are only 10 verses. If you're going to make a or circle words that is directly and specifically connected to God, you will find at least 15. So in every verse, you will see God 1.5 times. And that tells us the focus of her song. And practically the matter or the way she puts it together, the tense that she were able to use is this. That the song of praise is a habitual action. It tells us that it is going to be continuous. She did it before and she will continue to do so. That is the manner or the degree of her song that she created. She is willing to continue on praising God in her lifetime. You know what the problem is sometimes with you and me? It is easy to forget to thank God in many blessings. We just celebrated Christmas. I'm not here to put you down or to make you feel guilty. But at least I could ask you how much or what was the degree of your thankfulness to God as we celebrated the most important celebration as far as our concern, because we are believers in the Lord. Never mind the gifts, but the giver of the gifts and the ultimate gift, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, our text presents the purposes of God. It is true that we could see Mary play a big role in the narrative, but the song is really about God. That He is breaking into history. You know, if you're going to look back on verse 5 of the same chapter 1 of Luke, it tells us that in that time, it was that particular time when Angel Gabriel speak to Zechariah about the birth of John the Baptizer. You know what that tells us? It's telling us that for the last 400 years, there was no revelation from God. And that particular time was the very first one. When He says, there will be a guy named John the Baptist. All this time, there was no revelation from God. The last time when He spoke to Malachi, God says, behold, there will be a forerunner. And since then, this was the first time. So it was a very special day. Our text tells us that the time is now ripe for something new. It is ripe. It is the right time that God, who is sovereign in time, in His sovereign will, did not delay, but that at that point in time, Mary is pregnant, and soon she will deliver the Savior of the world. A lot of times, we question the timing of God. A lot of times we were saying, why is it not now? I've been waiting for a while. I know it's not easy when you have someone living in the Philippines, family members, that every time you talk to the immigration, seems to be a circling. There was a little hope and then it's gone again. And then there's hope, there's gone again. Sometimes it would take years before your loved one would come here. There are those also people who've been waiting for offspring and years. Don't look far away. Look at the person in front of you. I'm waiting more than 7 years. But sometimes our attitude is that we are impatient. You know, we should just let God do His work. His perfect work. His perfect time. There's a lot of time that we push our God to fit our schedule. There are times when you don't feel. There are many blessings. Let's use, for example, our church. There are many blessings. We have 2 services in the church. But never to use any of the services for your convenience. Come to the church as the Lord wants you to be in the church. If you use coming to the church as convenience, then it is a questionable worship. Don't you think? You come to God because you want to worship in spirit and in truth as He required of you. He doesn't want you to be in the church all day. But it's important that you and I do not put God to fit in our schedule. We follow His schedule. True? That's very true. Oftentimes, it is a double blessing when we understand the perfect work and time of God. It is a blessing for you. It is a blessing for other people. But most importantly, it gives glory to God. And God does not do anything without His purpose. Anything that is happening, He is there. In every situation that you are in, He is there. No matter what you want to do, at the end of the day, He is the one in control. We should let Him to be the one driving in our life. Let's take a look at verses 48 to 54 on our text. For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has come great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on throne on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel. First of all, Mary's song presents a contrast on verse 51 and 52. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. You know, whenever the arm of God is used in the Old Testament, it describes His power and His greatness. And if there's anything in the Bible, one of the great books in the Bible, if you want to know how great God is and how powerful God is, you could always come and visit the book of Exodus. how God shown His greatness to His people and to those who oppose Him. And we all know the result. God will always win. We are always on the winning side. Mary's songs picture God's power. And by contrast, God shows His mercy to His people, lifting up the lowly and filling the hungry with good things. You know, at that point in time, the nation of Israel, they have less, almost helpless when it comes to civil and justice under the Roman rule. That was the situation then. Brethren and friends, Mary is not only a composer, but she is also a prophetess. Because at this point in time, many things are still to take place in her song. But the tense of her statement is this, as if it has taken place. Mary saw the Lord turning everything upside down for His purpose. That's how great our God is, and that's how He also show His grace and mercy. And always and all the time, the grace of God works against or contrary to the ways of the world. Now, verse 54, it tells us that God has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. God in here wants to tell that the greatest need of Israel is not a king or someone who would deliver them from the hands of the Romans, but someone who would redeem them from sin. Isn't it true that Matthew in chapter 1 verse 21, it says that God would save His people from what? It didn't say God would save His people from the Romans. It says that God would save His people from sin. And in here, Mary echoes great biblical themes of redemption. If you're going to take the time in searching and reviewing and meditating this particular text from verse 46 to 55, you will see that they are closely connected to many books in the Old Testament. Mary was kind of a revolutionary in her time, and it is going to be a great encouragement to our people today, especially the young people, as it is Young People Sunday today. She had broken the stereotypes. You see, she knows and cares what is happening around her and willing to make the difference. That is the requirement for every one of us. She knows the purpose of God in her life. She knows the purpose of God to her people, and she knows the purpose of God to the community and to the world and those people who are closely that are around her. A lot of times, there's the tendency for us to be too close to those who are the same as us, believers of the Lord. You know what is the greatest tragedy for a believer in the Lord? The greatest tragedy for a Christian is this, that all of your friends are believers. If all of your friends are believers, there is no mission field. So you would violate the greatest commission. But it is very important to have someone who is a good Christian. It is important to have Christian friends. But don't spend all of your time with Christian friends. Because the Word tells us, the Word of God tells us that you are to share to those who are not like you and me. And there is this important ingredient if you want to follow God. You will find it on verse 35. It tells us that on verse 35, we see the presence and the power of God through the Holy Spirit. We see the presence and the power of God in her life. That is the secret. You cannot do anything apart from Christ, and you cannot do anything apart from the enabling power of God. Sure, you may do something, but it will never count. In relation to this, it is the same thing for you and for me. Not only for Mary. We are here not only to know what God's purpose is, but we are here as believers to yield and to submit to God's will. And as we yield to God, it is very important that we know the promises of God. On verse 55, it reads, "For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary mentions God's promise. She is aware that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's promise all the way back to the book of Genesis, particularly on chapter 12. Shall we turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12? Genesis 12. This is a very important text, which is closely connected to Mary's praise song. And it reads, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You know, if you're going to look at the first chapter of the book of Matthew, you will see the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it presents us from Abraham to David, our 14th generation, from that point in time all the way to the exile is another 14, and from the exile unto Jesus is another 14, which is 42 generations. And Bible scholar says that it's more or less 2,000 years. In that promise, when the Lord gave it to Abraham after 2,000 years, it was fulfilled as it is written. God fulfilled his promise to Abraham, and that promise includes you and me. Do you think it will be a bad doctrine or a heresy if I say that there are things God cannot do? As we all know that God can do everything. There is nothing impossible with God. But that's true. But did you know that there are also things that God cannot do? When you take a look at Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18, it says that it is impossible for God to lie. It is also true in saying it is impossible for God to make a mistake. So it is true. It is biblical that there are things that God cannot do. When God says that through Abraham, all of the families of the earth will be blessed, they will be. You don't have to look far away. Just look at the person next to you, behind you, and you. We are recipients of God's promise to Abraham. You know, Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it tells us that the Gentile believers in Christ are Abraham's spiritual seed and heirs of the promise. That is connected to that. It is also good to know that within the natural seed, for instance, like Mary, at any point in time, from Abraham all the way from the early, even up to now, there will always be remnants of his people. Isn't it true that we know the Jews for this Jesus or the Messianic Jews? There will always be remnants. There will always be Jewish believers. But there will also be Gentile believers. But the Bible tells us that for those who are Gentile believers, you have become Abraham's seed and heirs of the promise. But we are distinct. You and I becoming a believer, we will never become a Jew. The church is different from the people of Israel. They will always be different. But anyone who become children of God become one in Christ. But they are distinct. And in relation to God's promise, He is never slow in keeping His promise. He knows the when and the where when He will fulfill His promise. Just like the story of Christmas, when He says, He used Prophet Micah, He says that, but you, Bethlehem, out of you will come. You will be born. And it's true. In Jerusalem, He was born. But you know what the greatest problem of men? It's not really impatient. The greatest problem of men is unbelief. Unbelief in God and unbelief in His Word. It is amazing to me how well acquainted Mary was to God's Word and how firm was her faith in God. She dared to submit to God's purposes and plans. She takes the time and make the effort to praise God and worship God. She was just a young lady when the angel Gabriel came to her. No one would have paid any attention to her because she wasn't wealthy or important. If we're going to put that situation in today, she would probably have less than 200 friends in her Facebook. And she lived in a very insignificant village. Had she died, there will be very few people who would go to her grave and pay the last respect. But there is someone. It was God who had chosen her. Mary was chosen for the benefit of everyone, just like Abraham was. Abraham was not chosen by God because Abraham was special. He wasn't special. He was just like you and me. But because of God's program, He has to use someone. So Abraham was used by God for the benefit of everyone. And in the same token, in this place and time, you may be not as a gifted singer or composer just like Mary was, but you are called in this place and time to do something for the Lord. You are important in the Lord's sight and you are important in His plan. Thank God, because there are many promises in the Bible. We can never underestimate the power of God and how much He can do through you. But it is important for us to let Him and allow Him, that we may be a channel of blessing to other people, especially as we celebrate the Christmas season. I'd like to leave with you one of the many promises in the Bible. And I'd like to invite you to please turn to that. This will be your take-home verse, if I may. And it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ." And the people of God says, "Amen to the glory of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for reminding us that you are God who who is mindful of our affairs, that you are also our God who gives us the privilege not only to worship you, not only to serve you, but to make a difference to everyone. Lord, it is our prayer that you will help us to be obedient to you. Lord, it is our prayer that you will help us not to be impatient. Lord, I pray that you will increase our faith. Lord, I pray that we will always be willing to serve you and make a difference to the world. It is wonderful to know that Mary bare the Son of the World at that point in time. But in the same token, we are also carriers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us to be willing and busy in sharing the love of Christ to others. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite everyone to